Amen. I appreciate this family of singers. Amen. God bless them. What a blessing. They've always been a blessing every time I've heard them. But I appreciate the old time way, don't you? And I want to say to all of you men of God here that I appreciate you staying with the stuff down through the years. It's a blessing just to know that you're still in the fight and it's still real. Amen. I appreciate that so much. Well, amen. It's my honor tonight to have Brother Alfred Willis, a pastor from down in St. Stephen's, Life Baptist Church. And he's one of my heroes. And I thank God for him. I don't want you to get by without saying something about the men's home.
Amen, preacher. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, thank you, preacher. God bless you, brother. I love you, man. All right, well, it's a joy to be here. It's certainly been a joy to be in the meeting. Amen. Appreciate all the great preaching, great singing, great spirit. Amen. Lord, the balcony is full tonight. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you all so much for letting us come. Every year we get to come and be in the meeting, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. I've gotten so much help in this meeting. Thank you all for the great, great preaching, great spirit in the service. Amen. I already said that one time, didn't I? Amen. But Brother Robert did say something. I don't normally do that. I really don't say a lot about the home because I don't feel like that's why I go to churches. I got some men in the church that do that. So Brother Philip and, of course, Brother Jeff. But I don't do a lot about that because I'm not here to get you money. Amen. If you want to give it, we'll take it. But all jokes aside, I'm not here to really do that. I don't say that in revivals I go in. I might mention the home or something happened in the home, but I'm not here to really do that. The board, before Brother Robert and them come on the board said I needed to do that. And that was when other men were on the board. Some of them suggested that I do that, but I just never been led to do that. But we do have a home, and I know y'all are aware of that. Of course, Brother Robert's on the board now, some other good men of God. And we have a home. We don't charge for it. We take men in free of charge and do what we can to help them. Basically, give them the gospel, amen, and try to get them saved by the grace of God. And the Lord has blessed that. We've seen just numbers of men. I think now about 100 men has been through our home in 7 years. We've been operating. We are building a bigger facility for that, a very, very nice facility. And I'm not, none of this is a braggadocious thing. We purchased about 26 acres of land. And the church went on the record to do that. The church took that obligation, so the church pays for that part of it. But the ministry of the home has to support itself. So I don't know how much you want me to say, but that is the part. The ministry of the home has to support itself. Brother Jeff, Brother Philip, their salaries come out of that. Operating expense comes out of what they bring in to take care of the home. The only obligation the church has on that is we paying off the land. And I'll be glad when we get that paid off. Amen. And that's a church obligation. So thank God for what he's done. Amen. I think Brother Jeff told me if I go up, we're averaging, I think, somewhere probably a little bit more, a little bit less, around 10 calls a week. We get 10 calls a week for people to be placed in the home. We can only hold up to at least up to 5 men. We really pack it out when we got 6. And so that's kind of where we are. Amen. The next facility will hold up to 20 men. And so I was in a meeting just recently. Brother Jeff didn't get to go with me, but Senator Tim Scott, our senator, was in Charleston. And they had a meeting down there with a bunch of the dignitaries. Amen. And I'm a dignitary. I felt very, intimidated to be in that meeting. But a bunch of high class people, I guess I'd call them. Amen. People of renown was in that meeting. And Tim Scott said the opioid addiction was just absolutely out of the banks. And I know we know all that. And here's what Tim Scott said. He said, I want to see to it that our state does something about that. And I'm sitting there thinking, we got the answer. Amen. Hey, Senator. Hey, Senator. Hey, Senator. Matter of fact, honestly, this happened to me. I was in a restaurant one day, and Tim Scott was in there. And I went over to speak to him, just casually walked by and speak to him. Well, I'd been in a meeting with another man that knows about our ministry, and he was sitting with Tim Scott. And when I spoke to Mr. Scott, I just basically said, I appreciate you being our senator. And that man said, Brother Willis said, tell Brother Scott what you're doing. And I told him about the ministry, and he said, I want you to send that information to my office. And he said, I want to make contact with y'all about what you're doing. So that is something to pray about. If we could get Tim Scott on board with this, somebody help me. Amen.
And so he has, me and my wife had the opportunity to go to, and I don't want to take up too much time. We had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. a while back, and we went to the office. I happened to be on that weekend. Every congressman in South Carolina that was from South Carolina, all of them had gone home. So I didn't get to see anybody, amen, but we was up there, left information, and so I'm not trying to be political. I'm just simply trying to say, if these men, not that they would support us, but they know people, they know rich people. Somebody help me. Wish y'all help me on that, amen. Us poor independent battlers, we ain't got no money. Amen. So maybe some of these rich people need to get on board. They said there is a ministry in Charleston. I hope this is not offending anybody. I hope not what I'm saying is not offending anybody. They say there is a ministry in Charleston. I think it's 180. Those people, now that's not us. That's not us. But those people take in thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every month to run those liberal ministries. And of course, we're not going liberal. But if they want to send some of their money to us, I don't care if they win the lottery, send it to us. Amen. Somebody help me, amen. Well, that blew about half y'all out, amen. But bottom line is we're not going to dip our colors, amen. And we're trying to keep it fundamental, amen, trying to help these men. And I'm telling you, I know what we say. I'm telling you, when these men are sober, they're some of the best men you could ever be around. They're crooks and all that kind of stuff, amen. But I'm telling you, when they're sober, they're some of the lovingest guys. I mean, we just relate to each other. And I praise God that he started that ministry. In spite of me, he started that ministry. Amen. But God burdened me with that ministry. And God has got us on the road to, you know, do great things, I pray, for the glory of God. And we want him to get all the glory. Amen. It's certainly big in our little country church out there in the country. We're not big enough to handle something like this. But God has really taken up the slack. And we praise the Lord for what he's done. Amen. So you just pray for us. And if you could ever help you, you give us a call. If we got an opening, we want to take the men in. So if we could ever be a help in that way. I don't think you can hardly go to a church. This is what they're telling me. You can't hardly go to a church. And just about every family in the church has got somebody with some kind of addiction. Every family, just about every church has got somebody in their family with some kind of addiction. Amen. And it is a national crisis now. And so, thank God we're involved in that. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. That's all I'm supposed to say, right, Brother Robert? Amen. All right. Well, I don't know why I'm preaching on this tonight. Amen. I come up here to preach this. And so I went up to the car and tried to change it. So if this don't work out, I should have changed it. Amen. So let's turn, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If I got this outline right, Brother Buster gave us, Brother Barry preached on the church in the wilderness, or the church in the world, so to speak. Brother Jeff preached on, give us a warning. Brother Winslow gave us a message on worship. Brother Buster preached on being weak. I'm preaching tonight on Robert was wrong. He's got the wrong man up here. Amen. So let's stand and read the text. Amen. Let's stand and read the text, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? I am not qualified. I'm not the man to preach what I'm fixing to preach. I really am not. And it don't seem like it's the right message for this night after all we've encountered and experienced in this meeting. But I guess I'm just trying to say, let's keep doing what we're doing. And that's basically what I can get out of this tonight that I'm preaching this. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto men, but speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that we all speak with tongues, but rather, amen, that we may prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth. I want to try to preach on this simple thought tonight, the priority of preaching. Amen. The priority of preaching. Amen. So y'all pray for me that God help me do that. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord. It's been a joyous occasion to be here. I don't know how it could be any better than what we've heard, what we've experienced. And Lord, we praise you for your presence in this meeting. I pray now, Lord, you'd help me tonight. Not here to be an entertainer. I'm not here to be a performer. But Lord, to try to say something, I pray that Lord would encourage us to keep on doing what we're doing. And we'll give you glory and honor and praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When you look at 1 Corinthians 14, you come out of chapter 13. Of course, the Bible said in chapter 13, talking about, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. And then, of course, he goes into chapter number 13 and talks about that excellent way being what we do to do it in love. And I guess what I get about chapter number 14 coming out of 13 is, one, it's one thing to love to preach, but it's another thing to love those to whom you preach. And I found that to be true in my own ministry. Amen. I love to preach. I'm called to preach. But I'm going to tell you what, it's another thing to love those to whom you're preaching. Amen. Peter said, the Lord said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. And I found this to be true. Peter wasn't always what he should be. Matter of fact, I wrote down in my notes, many sheep have been injured making one shepherd. There's a lot of sheep being slaughtered trying to make one shepherd, amen. Because we didn't start in this thing like we knew it, amen. And we have preached because we love to preach, but we didn't love those to whom we're preaching. And a lot of sheep, Peter chopped off ears, amen, had a bad spirit, walked in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of sheep get injured when we don't preach because we love people. Somebody help me. That's the best point I got. I couldn't even get amen. The priority of preaching. And I want to deal with just two aspects of that tonight with the Lord's help. The priority of preaching. What are the reasons for maintaining preaching as a necessary part of our church life? I want to try to answer that question. I'm sure I couldn't answer it all tonight. But point one, what are the reasons for maintaining a preaching ministry as a part of our church life? If I could try to answer that tonight with the Lord's help. I believe the assumption is in our day, amen, first of all, that we have so much technology, such as films, books, CDs, DVDs, that if you aren't careful, we will use substitutes, amen, and instead of using what God called us to do is preach the Word of God. Now, I fully understand that people can get saved through those means, amen. But God ordained preaching to get the job done, amen. Listen to this. It's not enough to be informed. Is anybody listening? I read where Mr. Brooks said, preaching is truth through a personality. Preaching is truth through a personality. Number one, preaching communicates God's presence to us as no other vehicle of communication. God uses preaching to communicate to us, hey, His presence as no other means of, as no other way of communicating. Hey, for the Bible said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. You know what I found to be true in my church? I don't have a lot of people in my church that was reading the Bible and got saved. Matter of fact, I don't know a lot of people. I have heard testimony that just took the Bible down and started reading and got saved. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. But I've heard many, many hundreds and even thousands that got saved in preaching. Here's what I've seen in our church. Most people that come to our church, out of other churches, I'm not talking about independent churches, but most people that come to our church out of other churches normally get saved. They come saying they're saved, but after they sit under preaching, like we know preaching, they normally end up getting saved. Is anybody listening? Amen. I'm saying that God uses preaching to communicate His presence as no other vehicle of communication. Amen. Number two, preaching conveys the force of the Bible as no other way of handling it does. There's something about preaching. I don't know all the answers to that. Other than God said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It communicates the force of God as no other vehicle. Amen. That's why the emphasis today is on teaching. Oh, you listen to me? I don't know a lot of radio programs that emphasize preaching. I don't know a lot of television programs that emphasize the preaching. Most of them emphasize teaching. And teaching is good. Teaching works on your mind and your intellect. But preaching works on your will and your emotion. Hey, teaching works on giving us instruction. And we ought to have instruction. But preaching works on inspiration. At our church, we have Sunday school, then we have preaching. We bring them out of Sunday school, they've been instructed, and we use preaching to help them respond to what they've been taught. Somebody help me, amen. Hey, I say teaching works on content. Preaching works on intent. Amen and amen. I think preaching ought to have content. Amen and amen. But I'll tell you what I've seen, brethren. The old time preachers, I don't know that we have a little today, we have any better preaching we have today. I'm talking about content. I'll tell you, some of the old preachers that I read after, I mean, they got some content. But I'm telling you what, their emphasis wasn't content. Their emphasis was intent. Amen and amen. And I'm telling you, when you get a man full of the Holy Ghost, he ain't got to have a lot of content. Though I love content, though I love alliteration, amen. I'm telling you, preaching is something about preaching, the intent of preaching. Preaching is teaching with an application. Amen and amen. Hey, we're preaching on the priority of preaching. Amen. The teaching gives the whys and the wherefores. The preacher simply lays down the mandate. Somebody help me, amen. I am telling you, that's why a lot of people like teaching. Teaching don't really bring an altar call. But preaching, amen. I'm talking about fiery preaching. I'm saying that I got to jump pews. I'm not saying you got to get loud. I'm not wanting to imply that tonight. But there's something about the force of preaching that gets the job done that teaching won't do. Amen and amen. Hey, listen to me. Hey, teaching talks about discussing it. But preaching talks about digesting it. I was preaching one time in my church. This has been years ago. I was preaching one time in my church. And right in the middle of my message, I made a statement. And a fellow stood up. He was visiting our church. And I was preaching. And you know when you get in that gear, I can't tell you that unless you're preaching. But when you get in the gear of preaching, you don't need no questions. Somebody help me there. And I don't know if I was in a big way. It's a big way for me after being here today. It wasn't too big. Amen. But I was in that gear. Amen. Of preaching. And a fellow stood up and said, hey, back there where you made that statement. And I mean, it just blew me away. I said, what statement? He said, you made a statement back there. I'm not sure that's what that means. And man, it blew me out. We may as well have said amen and go home. And so after the end of the service, he was walking out. And I said, sir, it was good to have you visit with us tonight. And I'm a little fella, amen. And he was a muscular looking guy. But I'm telling you, I had some intent then, friend. And I said, sir, it was good to have you visit with us tonight. But we didn't come to debate the Bible. When I'm preaching, don't you never, we want you to come back. We were pleased with you being here. But don't you ever come back while I'm preaching and stop me while I'm preaching. Somebody help me. You said, did he get mad? I don't know if he got mad. He's in prison. Honestly, he killed the fella. He murdered the fella on the bridge outside of town. And he's serving life in prison. Amen and amen. Here's what he was from. He was from some kind of group. I don't even know what it was. The brotherhood or whatever he was in. And here's what they did when they went to church. They went and went around in circles and discussed the Bible. And he figured he could come and discuss. Hey, when a man's preaching, ain't no discussion. It's digested. Amen. You say, well, it don't taste good. Choke on it. Amen. I'm telling you, when a man gets in the gear of preaching, don't mess with him. Amen. If you got questions, ask it after the sermon.
Go ahead.
I got a good brother in my church. When I preach some, he has a lot of questions, good thought-provoking questions. Amen. It's good questions. One of the best men I got in my church, I call his name, y'all know him. He asks a lot of questions. And he's not questioning you. He's just asking questions. So sometime when I preach, I said, I done told you everything I know about that subject. Don't come to the back. Don't ask me nothing about it. I just preached all I know. Somebody help me. There's something about preaching. That's the intent. When a man's teaching a Sunday school class, you can say, I got a question. Y'all help me. I read the word preach means to herald. It's the emperor sends forth the herald to proclaim the message. I'm telling you, God in heaven has sent us to preach the word of God. Amen. We're laying down the mandate. You know, I read over the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave commandment. Listen to me. I'm not sure the gospel is more a proclamation than it is an invitation. I'm telling you, we have watered the gospel down so, I know this crowd hadn't, hopefully, but we watered the gospel down so that we're saying there's a poor God in heaven that needs you poor sinners to come. God don't need none of us. There's a proclamation that he commands you to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find myself there now. I want sinners to know I'm compassionate. And sometimes I feel like, hey, you cuss God's name. You blaspheme God. Somebody needs to proclaim, you are a blasphemer. Paul said he was. And sometimes, because we want sinners to know that we love them and care for them, poor God in heaven needs you. Would you please? And I know that I'm for that. I'm for that. I'm come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be. I know we ought to give an invitation, but the gospel is a proclamation. We're to proclaim, you must believe. Amen and amen. We're living in a hard day, friend. We're living in a hard day. Now, it's always been a hard day come to the gospel. But I'm telling you, man, there's wicked sinners we're preaching to. I'm telling you what, I know y'all church like that. On any given Sunday in our church, I got numbers of lost people sitting in my church. Any given Sunday, there's a number of lost people sitting in our churches. Amen. And they've heard it, and they've heard it, and many of them never heard it. And I'm telling you, we ought to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. There is a hell. There is a fire in hell. There is a heaven. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying preaching has intent. Preaching clarifies the calling of the church, has no other activity. Yet what I'm trying to say now, the church has lost its identity. Especially in the West and especially in America. What do you mean by that? They think we're a social club. Stay with me now. We're like the JCs, the Rotary Club, the Shrine Club. We're do-gooders. Here's what the world outside this church thinks. The church is a bunch of do-gooders. And they'll help you, amen. And they are, and we are. But I'm going to tell you what clarifies the church has no other organization. Preaching! Dear God, when they come to church, amen. I've seen them do this before, Brother Russell. I've seen them sit down. I don't know if it's my style. I don't know what it is. But I see them sit down, amen. And all of us seem to... I ain't trying to do that to him. I have tried. And I'm not talking about style. Everybody's got a different style. But I have tried. I'm saying, now, Lord, this morning I'm going to stay calm. We have visitors in the service. They look like they're dignified. I ain't trying to make y'all laugh. And I said, here's what I've talked to myself, Brother Barry. And I said, I'm going to walk to the pulpit. I'm going to read my text. I'm going to stand behind the pulpit. I'm going to try to stay eloquent. And dear God, I get into it, and all of a sudden I hear myself, it's hollering. I don't need to be doing that. I'm telling you, something that I'm preaching this for the church as much as I am preaching. You preachers don't need this. I'm telling you, the man of God, when he's got a message burning in his heart, hey, there's fire in his soul. Amen and amen. And I look at him come in. I think this family has worked to get this family to come. You know what effort it is to get a visitor to come to church? I want to do everything I can not to hurt that situation, but I have got to preach. I ain't saying you got to be loud like me. Are y'all? What clarifies the church is preaching. When they get there, we know they know we're more than just a bunch of do-gooders. Amen and amen. I'll tell you what Mr. Spurgeon said. He said, the nation that ceases to produce preachers ceases. Brother Barry, I think you said that. How many, I think y'all, brothers, one of y'all said it. How many preachers y'all seen call? We've got numbers of preachers in our church. We have a small church. We've got numbers of preachers in our church. And just about all of them's got a ministry. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't seen a lot of young people surrendering to the ministry. And here's what Mr. Spurgeon said. He said, the nation that ceases to produce preachers ceases. The hope of America is the pulpit. Amen and amen. I'm simply saying to us, hey, here's what Mr. Spurgeon said about his own country. He said, Spurgeon warned the church that was drifting away from the purity of the gospel. Instead of boldly preaching the truths of Scripture, verbatim, this is what I read. Preachers have candy-coated the word, being careful not to offend anyone. As a result of Christianity's influence in 19th century England, we have been severely weakened. Look at England today. I got a lady in my church from England. I mean, she talks, I started to say she talks English, but I got a lady in my church. She is full blood from England. I mean, she talks like she is from England. And her mother wasn't, sister, mom, it was her mother. It was her mother, right? And her sister was turned 80 years old. And so we sent her back home to see her sister on her 80th birthday. Now these people are atheists. And when she got there, she told her sister and got her whole family and got them together and said, I want to show y'all on the internet. Our program is coming up. The Life Baptist Church program is coming in England. Dude, Lord. I'm preaching on the, oh, dude, Lord, have mercy. Keep them cards and letters coming in. Hey, she gathered all, Brother Buster, all of her family's atheists, and she gathered them all around the internet and turned the program on. And they heard me preach the gospel. And here's what them atheists said. I've never seen somebody so excited about God. Glory to God. They wrote us letters and said, we appreciate the broadcast. The broadcast. From St. Downtown St. Stephen, even. Somebody help me. This world's dying for preaching. Amen and amen. Hey, what does preaching do? Preaching keeps us word oriented. Are you listening to me? Hey, preaching keeps us word-oriented. Hey, preaching will cause you to listen. Y'all, I'm not saying what we've done. Y'all doing the same thing. I am telling you, time after time, after time, after time, and you can say the same thing. After time, after time, after time, I've had people walk out of our church, shake our hands, say, I'll tell you one thing, you won't go to sleep here.
Amen. Amen.
That's the fact. I'm not bragging. I'm talking about y'all's churches. They said, we go to our church. This is what they tell you. We go to our church. Says it lasts for about 45 minutes. And sometime an hour, we're going to be out. They're going to be out at 12. And that's good if you want to do it. If you can do it, good. I tried it. It don't work at our church. And here's what they say. They say, about 11:45, we're so sleepy and so weary. We got to work to stay awake. I've had them tell me time after time after time after time. We didn't even think about sleeping today. I'm just simply saying, I think it's the preaching. It's that preaching, amen. Hey, cause you to listen. It'll cause you to learn. It'll cause you to lay it to heart. Preaching will cause you to lay it to heart, amen. Hey, the church must get back to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, we're taking a text now. We're texting. Get your phone out. We're texting to you now. Hey, preaching is a priority in the church. Amen and amen. Amen. Notice this. Preaching, hey, keep your word oriented. It'll keep your worship oriented. Amen and amen. I tell you, my whole life has been built around this. I'm in the lower part of the state. I've said this 100 times upstate. Dr. Sightley come preaching our church years ago. He said, we're in Charleston. He said, it's filled by Episcopal. He said, starchy, formal religion. And he said, so that's where we are. He said, this is a dry, dead religious. He said it in the pulpit of Life Baptist Church. And here's what the doctor said. He said, but I prayed for years that God would raise up old-fashioned, independent, fundamental churches in the lower part of the state. And I'm not saying this in any braggadocious way. Dear God, we went to church Sunday. Of course, we had a big weekend at our church. I'm telling you, we went to church Sunday. Brother Buster, dear God, they were shouting, screaming, running down the aisles. I'm telling you what, I believe Dr. Siler was over in heaven saying, amen, amen, down in the lower part of the state, amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I want a worshiping church. I want it loud. I want it loud in the house of God. Hallelujah. I like when you preach to say amen. I was preaching a while back. I said, say amen. I looked over my son-in-law. I said, Mark, say amen. He said, I just did. I said, it wasn't loud enough. Say it again. Amen. Amen. It'll keep you word or it'll keep you worship oriented. Hey, preaching will tell you who God is. Then the old time preachers bragged on the bigness of God. He's a mighty God, merciful God, magnificent God. Amen. Hey, preaching, we'll do that. I just recently preached in my church about 2 months ago. I preached a whole message. Listen to this, there, little nobody from nowhere. I preached on God's an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, and a omnipresent God. One message had them three big points in it. And he is. Amen. I think we need to brag on the bigness of God. Amen. Preaching does that. Amen. Hey, we got to see God, get them to see who God is. He's a big God. Amen. Preaching does that. Hey, preaching will tell you what he's done and what he will do. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, his name is to be glorified. The Bible said over in the book of Isaiah, he's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. Amen. The government is upon his shoulder. Yes, yeah. No, it said the government's on his shoulder. Right. Said to the prodigal son, he said he put the lamb on his shoulders. But he said the government's on his shoulder. Yeah. That's good. Takes God more energy to carry a sinner than it does the government. Somebody help me. That's second best point. Is anybody listening? Preaching must keep the church witness oriented. History reveals, is what I read, no significant church growth and expansion without preaching. And I'm talking about, when I say significant, here's what it's saying, the quality and staying power of those that profess. Preaching does that. Hallelujah. Hey, they went everywhere preaching. The Bible said when they got a hold of the resurrection, they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Amen. Amen and amen. Question number two. Answer question number two. Amen. Preaching. Why preach? Why would we preach? Question number two. What resolve should prompt a person to take up and give their best to the task of preaching? What resolve does that for us? Well, our Texan says it's the priority. Preaching is a priority. Amen and amen. Now that I got saved, they're speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I didn't know what he said. Anybody listening? Yeah. But I'm telling you, that man on that platform was saying up there, hey, sir, you in the back. Jesus loves you, died for you. He'll say, I didn't understand what them other people were saying. Y'all help me. Dear God, they was running around saying things I couldn't understand, but that fellow on that platform got my attention. He said, Jesus loved you, died for you. Hey, and you on the back row, I have 400 people in the building, and you on the back row, if you will come, God will say, I heard that. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Sure. Hey, preaching is the priority. Yeah, right, sir. Amen and amen. Got to be preaching. Yes, hallelujah. Our churches must have preaching. Why? Here's what the text says. He said it'll edify you. Look in verse 3. He that prophesies speaking to edification. What does preaching do? It edifies you. That means it's constructive. It builds character. Preaching builds character. Could I tell you something about the home since y'all got me talking about it? I tell you, 90% of those men that come to our home have no character. Character is zero. But I'll tell you what preaching will do. If you listen to preaching and get in on preaching, it'll put character in your life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Yes, Hey, I'm simply saying to us, here's what he says preaching will do. It'll do what? It'll do what? It'll give you edification. It'll be constructive. It'll give you exhortation. It'll be convincing. Hey, it builds confidence. Preaching builds confidence. Yeah. Amen, amen. Yeah. Thank God. Notice this. It'll give you consolation. Here's what he said. He said what? He said to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. Preaching will comfort you. Yes, sir. Amen and amen. Thank God for preaching. Yes, sir. Can I give you about three or four points on that and I'm through? Why do we preach? Why do we preach? Because it's a call. I'm going to say this tonight. Hey, notice, you know this verse real good. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, here's what he said. He says in chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, here's what he said. He said what? The Lord has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That's what he said. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hey, first of all, it is a holy call. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. It is a sovereign call of God. God Almighty calls men to preach. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me. And I know we know this. I'm not trying to preach anything we don't know. Hey, God in heaven called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I got saved in 72. I tell you, God started dealing with me about preaching. And for about 7 years, I just said, I'll run a bus. I'll do the work in the church. I'll be the treasurer. I'll teach the Sunday school class. I'll run a bus ministry. I did all of that. I did not want to preach. Somebody said, man, you wouldn't want to preach? I did not want to preach. But I tell you, I couldn't get away from the call. God sovereignly called me. Amen and amen. Why he would call me, I don't know. I think some of y'all guessing, thinking about why he did either. But the sovereign God of heaven calls men to preach. Not only that, it is a sanctifying call. He said, he has called us with a holy calling. It's a sanctified call. And I don't want to get on that because that's been hit today. I don't feel like it needs to be hit again. But I'm telling you, we are in bad shape among preachers today that have lost the sanctification of their ministry. We're on a sad day. I cannot believe what I'm seeing among preachers. I'm telling you, the standards in that pulpit. And if that pulpit breaks the standard, the people's going to be low in that. Amen. You are not going to live above what you have preached. Right. Stay with me now. Y'all better stay with me. You're probably not going to be in a church that the preacher has got lower standards than what you're living. That's why we got to maintain the standard. You're not going to live above what you hear preached. There might be exceptions, but I'll tell you what I found to be true. There's some things, hey, because I'm a preacher, I don't do anymore. There's some things I don't have anymore. Why? I'm a preacher. And I'll tell you what, I got to keep the standard high just to get our people to come to that stand. If I get down there where they are, they go get lower. It's a sanctified call. I don't mean this wrong, church. I hope y'all understand. I know y'all are a great man of God. I want to make a statement. I'm not one of the boys. I'm not Alfred. I'm preacher, Brother Willis. I don't like being called reverend. I got one guy call me out and say, I don't care for the reverend stuff, but I'm telling you, I'm a brother. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm telling you, it's a sanctified call. I'm telling you, when you start bringing the preacher down here, come somebody help me. It's a sanctified call. I would have never thought of calling my pastor by his first name. I would have never thought of speaking harshly to my pastor. I didn't always agree with my pastor, but I respected him. I said that in the church one day. Somebody said, stand up and said, well, I love Brother Willis, but I don't always agree with him. I said, go tell your wife that. Go tell your wife that you love her, but you don't always agree with her. You know what she's going to do? Slap your face. Here's what they're saying. I don't agree with the preacher. They ain't telling you how much they love you. They're telling you how much they don't like you. Woo! I feel it coming on. Amen. Why don't you just stand up and say, I love the preacher. You know he's got faults. Everybody knows he's got faults. If you stand here long enough, we're going to know you've got faults. It's a sanctified call, and we ought to do all we can to keep this calling holy. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to bare my heart to you tonight. Sometimes I walk up the pulpit, and I say this to myself. I hope y'all believe me when I tell you. I said it was too much laughing. I don't come to make people laugh. I don't know what it is that makes people laugh when I preach. I guess I do know what makes them laugh. And I do. Sometimes I walk up the pulpit, and I say to myself, and I know there can be human church. But I tell you, I don't want to be known as the preacher that makes everybody laugh. And sometimes I walk out of the pulpit and I say, I'm afraid I made people laugh more than I helped them. Help me. This is a holy calling. Amen and amen. There's some things I don't do because I'm a preacher. Amen. There's some things I abstain from because I'm a preacher. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd probably do them. I ain't talking about drinking. Y'all got an evil mind, man. See, there y'all go with the laughing again. I'm telling you, it's a sanctified call, and the preacher is not one of the boys. Amen. Everybody can do their own thing. I'm not rebuking you if you do this. I don't go with my people on vacation. Everybody do your own thing. I'm not rebuking you for that. I'm just not going to gang up with my crowd and go on vacation. I think it's a verse over there, not a verse, it's a verse. Familiarity breeds contempt. Man, you got false preaching. I'm telling you, if you hang around, and I'm not talking about socializing. I socialize with our people. I'm not going off on vacation. Anybody listening? Amen. And I, Brother Jeff, and sometimes you want to do that. You want to. And I'm not saying if you do it, you're wrong. I'm just saying me. I got so many flaws, I don't want them to see them. And I'm trying to live right. I ain't smoking and drinking and cussing. Amen and amen. I'm like Brother Raines. I don't even put on a bathing suit no more because it's got a hole in the knee of it. Somebody help me.
Come on,
hey, I don't want to get on that tonight because I'm accused of always getting on that subject. But I'm telling you, we better take the ministry and keep it holy. Amen and amen. It's a sanctified call. But I'm telling you, this being disgraced, I don't have Facebook. I don't have all that stuff. I got people in my church to do, and they bring me pictures of preachers. And I tell my church, I can't believe that. I'm talking about preaching in the sword of the Lord, nationally known preachers, and there they are with their families down at the beach, dressed with beach attire, and they're preaching in the sword conference. I want to call the sword up and say, why are you preaching that fella? But who am I from St. Stephen? We better keep the ministry holy. When I say that, I say it with conviction. I want to keep the standard high. I didn't know I was going to get bogged down on that point. It's a special calling. Amen. He said what? He said, according to his own purpose. God called us with a purpose in mind. It's a special calling. He called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He spelled it out. Go to Nineveh. It's a special call for a special place. God told me, I know y'all don't agree with this. I wish I didn't have to agree. But God told me to go to St. Stephen. That ain't a place you'd like to build a church. Somebody help me. But I know God told me to go to St. Stephen. Is anybody listening? You better know where God called you to go. Amen. Man, I'm preaching to the choir. But you better know where God calls you to do, because it ain't going to always be easy. Amen. God called Noah. Jonah said, man, I ain't wanting to go to Nineveh. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch me a sailboat and go to Tarshish. And he ended up in a submarine. Somebody help me. Now, I did want you to laugh on that one. Amen. My point is this. Hey, why do we preach? Well, I mean, what's the motivation of preaching? I got a call. Could I say this to you tonight? Could I say to you tonight? I sat and heard one of the best preachers I ever heard. And in his message, here's what he said, Brother Barry. I don't ever remember a call.
Oh, my goodness.
If I call his name tonight, all of you go. But he announced to a crowd about 600. He said, the Bible said, if you desire to offer a bishop, you desire good work. He said, I just wanted to preach, and I started preaching, and it's worked out. Now, that's confusing to a young preacher. If that's what you believe, sir, God bless you. God bless you. And I don't know if he's going to hear this tape. Who am I to rebuke him? He's done more for God than I. He's done more for God without a call than I have with a call. Somebody. Dear God, that is the best point I had tonight right there. I said, dear God, if he's done all that without a call, think what he'd have done with one. I mean, this man can preach. I preach in meetings with him. Hey, he can preach. He said, I don't ever remember a call from God. I remember a call from God. I did not want to answer it. Is anybody listening? It's a calling. It's a calling. Amen. Hey, we have a call. Why? We've got to help people be constructive. We got to help people be convinced and consoled. I have to have a calling to do that. I can't do that. But God can. It ain't me preaching. It's God preaching through us. Amen. Is that holy? That God chose us to preach through us to sinners and saints? Man, that's holy, friend. Hey, there's a call. There's a cross. For the preaching of the cross isn't him that perish foolish, but us saved. It's the power of God. It's something about preaching. It's the power of God. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18. He said the preaching of the cross is the power. It's pleasing to God. I don't know how. I guess I can. I've watched some preachers preach. I know God's got to laugh. He said that pleases God. I've watched Moses. I know God's watching me preaching. He's saying, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, I need to retract that call. I made so many mistakes in the pulpit. He's probably saying, oh, Lord, even God, I can say this reverently, y'all can. And God said, I think I repent on that one. Is anybody listening? Y'all help me. I'm like Brother Buster. I am not trying to copy you, Brother Buster. I really am not. I wouldn't dare try to do it. My daddy was a town drunk. I grew up in a house cussing and fighting, slinging, flushing rings down the commode and hollering and screaming. Daddy said, go get the liquor, son! Go get the liquor! And all Daddy ever drank was corn liquor. And I'd go get the liquor and I'd bring it back to the bed for the day. Sing to me, son! Sing to me! And I was a little bit, probably 8, 9, 10 years old. And I couldn't sing. And I'd get down in the chair right there by the bed. He had a rocking chair. And I'd put my legs under the arms like that and play like that. Play like that right there was the piano. And he'd say, sing to me, boy. He's about half tight, amen. Sing to me, boy. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. Somebody help me. Let me tell you what happened to my daddy. My daddy went to A. We had so many chips in our house, it looked like a sawdust mill. Green chips, yellow chips, blue chips. And every time them chips run out, he'd go back to drinking. One day, the preacher come to the house, knocked on the door, and Daddy said, who's at the door? And they said, the preacher's at the door. And Brother Barry, this is what my daddy said, get my shirt! I remember like it was, yeah, get my shirt! Why, Dad? The preacher's at the door, get my shirt! Oh, brother, they have more conviction than the drop back then than we do as a church today. And the preacher talked to my daddy and told my daddy, said, Alan, you've been through everything. Why don't you try God? He said, I got to have help. And we sent daddy to a place. And the first night he was there, he prayed all night long. And he said, when the sun come up in the morning, he knew he was a new man. God saved the town drunk. Amen. And he became a deacon in the Baptist church. Had a fourth grade education. And he's trying to talk to them Lord, educated people. And daddy had a fourth grade education. I just broke up, bowed my head. Daddy don't know what he's talking about. Oh God. Come to the school. And they turned the whole school out and put the whole school in the auditorium. And he told Alan Willis, here's the man who used to drink so bad. He was known as the town drunk. And he said, Alan, tell what God did. And he told the whole school, had God saved the town drunk. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the gospel still works. Amen and amen. Amen. Preach because there's a cross. Preach because there's a charge. I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul, that was Paul's last words. Brother Buster, he's talking about David's last words. That's Paul's last words. Moses gave them to Joshua. Elijah gave them to Elisha. David gave them to Solomon. Jesus gave them to the apostles. Paul gave them to Timothy. His last words. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen to this. Had a lady in our church one Sunday. Well, this is what preaching will do. Had a lady in our church one Sunday. I wasn't even preaching. I think I had a guest preaching. And here's what he preached on. Give something to God. I mean authority. He said, give, why don't you give something to God? And we had a visiting lady in our church. She's from upstate. And she was in our church. I'm through. I'm almost through. And she said, I sat there and she said, I started crying. And she said, God, the preacher's up there hollering, give something to God. I don't have nothing to give to God. And she said, God told her, give your broken marriage to him. And she said, God, in tears, she said, God, all I've got is a broken marriage. And she said, God, that's all I got to offer you this morning. And she said, God, I'm going to give you my broken marriage. Would you take it and do something with it? Can I tell you, I was upstate preaching about a year later, and that lady walked up to me and she said, Brother Alfred, I was visiting your church that Sunday, and that preacher said, give something to God. I didn't have nothing to give to God but a broken marriage. And I give her my broken marriage, and God patched it up and put it back together, and it's better than it's ever been. Preaching does that. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, hey, there's a cross. There's a charge. Amen and amen. Hey, preach because he's coming. Amen and amen. That's what Timothy said right there in chapter 4. He said what? I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, judge the quick and the dead, his appearing in his kingdom. Sound like he's coming into rapture, into revelation. Amen and amen. We go give an account. Amen and amen. Listen to this, and I'm through. Hey, the last message I ever heard Dr. Sightler preach, he preached from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Over in Open Bible Baptist Church, over in something to Brother Gary. I went over there. I don't know whether it was a fellowship meeting. I don't know what it was. But Dr. Sightler got up and said, boys, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he preached over there about the rapture. And here's what he said when he closed out. He said, you preacher boys, leave this place and go preach. Jesus is coming. Last message they ever heard him preach. Amen. Hallelujah. And he is coming. Amen. I believe he's coming. I know we preach it all the time, say it all the time. I'm going to tell you what, if what we're seeing, hey, in the rapture 7 years prior to all we're seeing, hey, we're fixing to leave out of here. Yes, preach because I'm going to give you this and I'm through. Preach because it produces converts. Timothy was one. Matter of fact, he said, I ain't got no other man like Timothy. I was preaching on that the other night at my church. I have no man like mine like Timothy. Preaching produces converts. Hallelujah. It'll get you out of religion and give you redemption. Isn't that good? It'll get you out of dope and put you in hope. We got a boy come to our home. He is the brother-in-law of Tim Gammons, who pastors Woodland Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And me and Brother Gammons was preaching on the other side of Myrtle Beach one night. And he had called us about his son-in-law, brother-in-law, and we took his brother-in-law in. And so me and him was preaching that meeting that night together over there at Rodney Cox's church. And he preached. Well, he come in, and the place was packed. It was a little small church, but it was packed and jammed. You couldn't hardly get in there. And I was up on the front row, and he come down and sat by down beside me. And I looked over at him, and I said, Brother Gammons, I said, Brian got saved last night. And he said, what? And I said, Brian got saved. That was his brother. He said, and I didn't know his wife was with him. That was her brother. And I said, yeah, he got saved. He said, I can't even get back there to tell my wife because it's so crowded. He said, I got to tell her that after the meeting's over. And so he got up and preached, and then I got up and preached. And then I closed out my message, and I got on the point about a man getting saved. And I said, and I looked over there at him, and I said, Brian, what happened to you last night? And when I said, Brian, that lady jumped up and come scooting down the aisle. I mean, she's a sophisticated looking lady. And she comes scooting down the aisle and said, and then she turned around to the church. She said, I don't normally act like this, but Brian is my brother. And I just heard that. Well, Brian got saved. Brian's got one arm. When he's a 16-year-old boy, he's playing ball, and the ball got knocked in the road, and he run out to get the ball, and a car hit him, and it severed his arm. And from that, they put him on steroids and all kind of drug pain medicine. Amen. And he got addicted to drugs when he was very, very young. And Brian come to our church, our men's home. And Brian one day got gloriously saved. Amen. And here's what he said. He said, preacher, he stood up and testified just recently. He said, for the first time in 30 years, I'm drug free.
Amen.
And now Brian's enrolled in Columbia in a trade school taking drafting. And he wrote a text us the other day. I'll tell you, preaching produces converts.
Amen.
And he texted us the other day and he said, I'm getting up this morning to go to school to get knowledge when I used to get up and go get dope. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Something about preaching produces convert. Ain't nothing like preaching and seeing somebody come down the aisle. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening? I'm glad it gets you off a dope and get you on the hook. It'll get you off the beer bottle and put you in the Bible. It'll get you off a whiskey and put you in worship. It'll get you out the crack house and put you in the church house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll get you out the woods and put you in worship.
Amen.
Anybody listen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. We got men, I'm telling you, numbers of men living in the woods. They're living in the woods. And they come out the woods and get in the home and get saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, here's what Paul said. I fought, I finished, and I've kept the faith. Here's what Paul said. I've won, I've run, and I'm done. Let's stand together. Let's keep preaching. Come on, Brother Robin. Musicians, let's play something. Amen. I know there's not much of a message for an invitation, but.